Gary Gaucher on harmonica and Ted Howard on the mandolin. Thank you so much for playing live here in the studio, gentlemen. We'll hear more from you a little later on.
Alrighty.
This is the first ever evening for a Raven Radio annual meeting held live on the air. And we're going to get to that here in just one moment. But first, I do want to let you know that the forecast for Sitka and vicinity and coastal southeast Alaska here calling for cloudy skies, locally windy, snow developing along eastern and southern Baranof Island this evening. The chance of snow, there's a chance of snow elsewhere, and accumulation from 2 to 4 inches is expected. Lows around 30 and east winds increasing to 30 miles per hour, gusting to around 45 miles per hour in exposed areas this evening. So it is going to be slippery and cold, so bundle up and stay warm and maybe keep your radio on and join your Raven Radio family for an annual meeting. And my name's Ken Fate. I'm the general manager. I'm sitting in the studio with Ted Laufenberg, or as we refer to him, Theo Laufenberg, because we've got two Teds on the Raven Radio board. So, Theo, welcome, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Ken.
So, let's see, a couple things. First off the bat is the why. Why are we doing a radio version of the annual meeting? It used to be that we'd do it during the thank you membership dinner that we would hold in September. And what we're doing here is the idea of having more people be able to have input and be able to hear the state of the station. So over the next hour or so, you're going to hear reports about different aspects of the radio station, what we've been doing last year, what we're going to do this coming year. We're going to try to keep it moving along and keep it exciting, but to make it very informative if you care about your radio station, which you clearly do. So that's the why of it. And the how of it is that in order to have an annual meeting, we need to have a certain number of proxies mailed in to the station, and those were mailed out to you with your ballots for the new board members that we've elected. And we did get back 135 signed proxies, and that is more than 10% of the membership of Raven Radio, so that makes it valid for this annual meeting to occur. And we've also voted for the board of directors. So that's the first order of business. We're going to get the meeting going officially with Theo, and then we're going to introduce your new board member and the reelected board members, and from there we'll just take right off. So with no further ado.
Well, let me announce then that the annual meeting of the Raven Radio Foundation will come to order. I believe this is approximately the 35th, although we don't have records on one of them. But it's been going on for 35 years. So welcome to our annual meeting of the Raven Radio Foundation. Let me introduce the board members, and we'll start here with Corey Bosman, Mandy Evans, James Stefan, everyone knows him as Steph, Ted Howard, Samin Bone, Trish Durham, and Robbie Littlefield. We have three present board members that were reelected in this present campaign. Robert Hattle, Perry Edwards, Dan Edelain. And we have one new board member who was elected, Zach Mayberry. So with that, that's your slate of board of directors for the Raven Radio Foundation for the coming year. Thank you all for attending. They mostly are here in the studio and listening and ready to participate in some aspects of this meeting.
So would like to mention that Dan is, as he often is on so many community events, making a video of this very meeting, and I'm sure that it will be on television later on in days to come. And we're also going to be posting a recording of this meeting on our website. So this meeting will be broadcast live, but also available here in a little bit. So I think up next is that we officially approve the election results.
Right. So I'll ask for a motion to approve the election results.
So moved.
And that was Mandy Evans moving to approve. And Samin Bone seconds that. Any objections, and anyone that would like to speak could take this time now to call. We have an open telephone line, 747-5877. or 1-800-478-5877. Let us know who you are and where you are from. We do have one person here, and it is Ted Howard. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, there we go. My mic is hot now. I'd like to take this opportunity to speak for the board and thank you, Ted Laufenberg, for your years of service here. We took up a collection, and here's a little something to help you get your Raven print framed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bravo. Thank you very much.
I guess this is a good time to step down then, isn't it?
Well, you have one last action. You have to ask if there are any objections to the motion to approve the results. And if none are noted, then they are accepted.
Well, anyone here in the studio or anyone that would like to call in with any objections, but it sounds like it's a winner. We have our new slate of board members. With that, we'll assume that we have approval because we have the proxies mailed in with the ballot results.
Sure, no assumptions necessary. The proxies make it legal. We're good to go, and I'm so sorry that's your last act on the Raven Radio board. Theo,
thank you
so much for your service. All right. Well, you'll be back a little bit later in the meeting, as a bystander, and we'll talk about the renovations. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and invite Mandy Evans to come on into the station or into the studio. And before Mandy and I get talking, we're going to talk a little bit about the budget and what's been going on at Raven Radio. I'd like to introduce the staff of Raven Radio. I'm the general manager. My name is Ken Fate. And Rebecca LaGuire is our program coordinator. Robert Woolsey, our news director. Ed Ronco is our news reporter. And our development director is Amy Kramer-Johnson. And we also have Ann Bryce, our winter fellow. And she's not able to be here tonight. She's headed back down south for a three-week break, but she'll be back for through the spring. And then our morning edition host fill-ins are Holly Keene, Chris Todd, and Jeff Seifert. And Coastal Alaska employees, executive director Molly Kabler works in the cable house down here, and we'll talk more about Coastal Alaska a little bit later on. The first on-air meeting is happening right now on Raven Radio. And if you have any questions during the course of the meeting, you can just give us a call, 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877, and we'll put you on the air and ask for your name and let us know where you're from, and you can participate in the meeting. And if you have any questions, please do just go ahead and give us a call. Mandy Evans, thank you for joining me in the studio.
Glad to be here.
You are the Finance Committee Chair, is that right? It's such a highfalutin name.
It is. Mainly, you could just say treasurer, too.
Okay, so treasurer of the Raven Radio Board.
Or treasurer. You could.
Well, you were a treasurer as well. Our goal here is over the next few minutes that we're going to paint a picture of the finances of Raven Radio over the last year and the year coming up. And we're the intention here is to let you know what we're doing. And it shouldn't take too awfully long. I'm just going to speak a little bit, and then Mandy and I will wrap things up with a little conversation about how things work. Our fiscal year begins on July 1. It ends on June 30. So we're right in the middle of it right now. And like many things about Raven Radio, the budget process, is handled collaboratively with Coast Alaska stations in Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Juneau. Collaborative services that Coast Alaska provides include business and accounting, like the budget process, payroll, membership, underwriting, sales, regional news, engineering, and representation to state and federal funding agencies. So Coast Alaska is a very helpful organization that Raven Radio helped create 15 years ago now that we've been working collaboratively. The Coast Alaska business offices are in Juneau, but the executive director of Coast Alaska, Molly Kabler, is based here in Sitka, and her office is just downstairs at the cable house. And other Coast Alaska employees like Ed Schoenfeld and engineering staff are also based or travel frequently to different locations around Southeast Alaska. So Molly will be in a little bit later on with Mandy to talk a little bit more about what Coast Alaska has been doing this year. Budget-wise for Raven Radio, last year, it's called fiscal year 12, and in FY12, out of an annual budget of $625,000, Raven Radio was able to put just over $5,000 towards reserves. And we keep them cooperatively with Coast Alaska, aiming for at least 3 months of operating expenses, as recommended by our auditors and best business practices. And we are just over that three-month level, so things look good on the overall picture for Coast Alaska and Raven Radio in the ongoing budget picture. This fiscal year, which is FY13, and we're about halfway through, has a particular challenge. Going over the what's been called the fiscal cliff would result in a 10% reduction in Raven Radio's budgeted Corporation for Public Broadcasting support this year, or about $14,000. To say that a different way, if we go over the fiscal cliff here next week, we'll have to cut $14,000 from our budget before the end of June. We'll have to spend $14,000 less than we had expected. So that's a big challenge. The biggest change, and largely as a result of the fiscal cliff, the biggest change here at Raven Radio is the change from a full-time, full-benefited program director to a three-quarter-time, non-benefited program coordinator position. And this was done because it was really our only fiscally responsible option due to the threat of reduced Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding immediately with the fiscal cliff, plus ongoing budget reduction issues as well. And then significant increasing health care expenses add to that issue. A benefit to this model that we're now in is the capacity to hire a part-time morning edition host, allowing news director Robert Woolsey more than 15 hours per week for additional news gathering and web development. So we're experiencing that as of the last month or so here. So those were budget issues that changed the face of how Raven Radio operates. Our current FY13 budget calls for a total operating budget of $627,000, a couple thousand dollars more than last year. Real quick revenue breakdown. Listener membership, that's you and your pledges, is about 22% of that. Local and regional underwriting, about 21%. Rent from downstairs, the Larkspur retail and special events, the Stardust Ball, about 14%. You add that all up, and it's about 57% of our revenue is locally generated. That's almost 60% is locally generated. The other portion, about 20% each of state funding and federal funding. So you add all that up, it's 100%. How do we spend that? Just over half, 51%, is spent on personnel. That's salary, benefits, and federal taxes for four full-time, a three-quarter-time, and several part-time employees. Programming is 8%. That's like dues to the Alaska Public Radio Network, NPR, and other program sources. Technical is 3%, equipment repair mostly. Personnel for Coast Alaska do a lot of the technical fix-it work, and Raven Radio employees do a lot of technical fix-it work. Development, 4%. Occupancy, heating oil, 9%. Administration is 2%. So mixed bag, mostly we're paying for people to run the radio station. So that's a summary of the numbers. And I've got Mandy Evans in here to just kind of clarify a little bit about not maybe what the numbers are, but how we go about doing the numbers. So Mandy, just to make sure that we're covering our bases, do you have any questions I should touch on?
Well, I think, I've recently learned more than ever the budget process, like who sets the budget, how do we do it, and when do we do it. You might go through that process for us.
The budget is set by the general manager, me, and the finance committee of the board of directors. And right now, that's you and Trish Durham. Mm-hmm. And we will meet in spring, probably March and April, and we'll come up with a draft budget. And we present that to the full board of Raven Radio, and that happens in April. And then that budget is moved into the Coast Alaska board, where they take all the budgets together and make sure that everything works and that Coast Alaska will have enough support to continue on. That process then is completed by May and early June.
How do you determine how to set the budget? That was an important thing I've recently learned, how we look at the historical trends that of spending, and you are a master of figuring out those projections. Do you have any secret recipe or formula for doing that?
Line by line, That's exactly the recipe is follow the recipe. So you go down, our budget has probably 50 or 60 individual line items. And one of them, for instance, utilities. And we go back and we look at the history of what utilities cost to heat this building, to run the transmitter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like a 3,000 watt light bulb. You just look at the historical trends and see how things look and current conditions. So a lot of it is just really doing research, trying to make sure that your budget is going to be as accurate as possible.
And then we do mid-year revisions as needed. I've been really happy to see how those are often not major revisions, because your projections were pretty close. But is that about mid-year that we do that, right, in January?
Yeah, we're actually in that process right now. Mm-hmm. And the biggest mid-year revision question is, is membership holding up? Because right. One of the things we predict for the next year, we create the budget that we follow the next year, is what's our revenue going to be? And with some of the, different granting agencies, the state money or the federal money, you have some idea. And then what we do is we look at historical trends of membership as mm-hmm. well, and we see what we've done, and we try to just follow real closely to what we know we can do and not tax any individuals or the city or the membership or us, and just stay on track with what we can do.
And so that's how you set those goals for our membership drives.
Yes.
What happens if we don't meet those goals in our budget process?
We have a bit of a scary budget cycle, in that the largest single chunk from the membership comes in the spring, only 2.5 or 3 months before the end of the fiscal year. What that means is, in a lot of ways, we've spent the money
right.
that we're looking to raise. Why it is generated that way has a lot to do with the history of a lot of different things, but that's how it is now. We're trying to build the fall drive to be bigger. And if it were up to me and I could snap my fingers and say, let's just do the whole thing in the fall so we know, I would, but I can't. So we still deal with the spring being kind of a nail biter.
Because we always honor our traditions and culture here so well.
So what we do is, right. if we were to not make it, then what we do is we just have cuts. We cut. By that time of the year, there's not much not spending we can do, but immediately we would not spend anything. And then we might have to cut programming or people for a while or something. So what we do is run real close to the bone.
And like any personal budget, it can then impact what you can do the next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just one thing here. We are sitting in this studio, which is recently completed as a part of a renovation of this building. I know we've talked about this quite a bit, I think, in the last couple of years with the public, but just reminding people where the money for the renovations come from and how that's kind of separate in the budgeting process.
I think it is very important to note that the money for the renovations does not come from the membership dollars that are pledged. Those are operating dollars that membership goes towards. That means keeping the lights on and paying the employees, keeping the programming coming in. The renovations that we've been doing for the last 7 years, those are from grants, and they're from different agencies. And actually, we'll talk about that in a minute, but that money is not operating money. That money is not included in the budget that we just talked about. That's separate. And the strong membership that we have goes a long way towards acquiring those grants. But we'll talk about those renovations and those grants here in our next section. I think we'll call it good for now with the budget. And if you have any budget questions, please give a call at 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877. And we'll put you on the air and ask for your name and where you're from, and we'll talk with you about that. And Mandy, thanks so much for coming in. We're going to go to a message and be right back with Theo to talk about renovations.
It's a 30-year tradition on Raven Radio. Every Christmas Eve at 8, the Battery Exchange. Songs and stories of Christmas from 8 until 10. At 10 o'clock, we open the phone lines. And this year, brand new, we read your Facebook greetings on the Battery Exchange. I'm Rich McClear. Join me Christmas Eve at 8.
We'll talk a little bit about Facebook and our other web projects here in just a few minutes. This is the Raven Radio annual meeting. Usually you'd be hearing an evening concert at about this time, or maybe the Sitka City Umbro Assembly meeting. But this year we're doing our annual meeting live on the air, hopefully imparting interesting and useful information about your community radio station. We often do this, or we've done this in the past always, in a meeting that's sometimes well attended, sometimes not. But I think it's information that is important for you to be able to have. So you can listen live now. We're also going to post this online, and Dan Edlane is going to have this on the TV later on as well. So it's just coming up on 7 o'clock. This is Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. And I'm the general manager, Ken Fate, in here with Ted Laufenberg, who was up until recently the chair of the Raven Radio Board of Directors, but has stepped down. But you've got some knowledge about this renovation, which is going to be a fairly short segment because we're done for the most part with the renovations. And I just wanted to mention that over the last 7 years, we've had over $500,000 of project grant money coming into Sitka. And we have spent that with more than 30 contractors and businesses over the last 7 years here in Sitka. And we've been renovating a 100-year-old building from top to bottom. And so, believe me, there's been plenty of surprises.
And a couple of outbuildings, too.
Yeah, that's true.
The garage has turned into a retail space. But just in the last year, we've had two projects that we wanted to mention. One was expanded storage in our basement area. This helps us to retain our archived materials for Raven Radio. We are old enough to have archives. I guess that's what being over 30 means. And the second project was to improve our restaurateur area so that our kitchen has a Type 1 hood, which means that someone can cook basically anything on our grill that might be positioned under that hood. We were limiting what we could serve there in a kitchen before that. So now it's a wide open first floor kitchen that is presently being rented by the Larkspur.
Local, state, and federal grants from the Sitka Women's Club, the White Elephant, Rasmussen Foundation, the Denali Commission, the Alaska Legislative Capital Grant Program, the Public Telecommunications Facilities Program, and the USDA Community Facilities Program have all helped with the renovation of our cable house here. So thanks to all of those organizations. And we're almost done right now. We currently have front porch renovations underway. You might say it better than I did. The foundation of the front porch was basically...
We had wooden posts that were rotting into the concrete bases. But with an older structure like this, that's what we would expect. And they've been replaced with more durable wood posts, but wrapped with, I'll say, architecturally authentic cedar, so that they look like old posts, but they'll stand perhaps for another 100 years.
And the details in there, the concrete steps, which were not to code and not even, will be replaced with even steps that will be to code, and the handrails will be up to code and much safer as well. We're also going to have sidewalks that peel off to either side of the front lawn. And in particular importance is with steps leading down from the lawn into the parking area. Almost everybody peels across that lawn and steps down the step, which is just a little too far for safety. I do it. I see everybody else do it, and it's not a good idea. So we'll have steps pretty soon.
So having a safe place to for folks to enjoy community radio is what a lot of this project's about.
Yep, and so we've been, we've had the roof repaired, the windows and the siding, now the upstairs. It's better light, it's better air, and it feels good. And so I invite you to come up and check out the renovations if you haven't. So that's an open invitation pretty much any time to come on in. Also, I wanted to update you on the remains found among the bedrock in the basement during that project. The Sitka Tribe of Alaska has agreed to reinter those remains at a location that they will determine. I don't have a timeline for that, but it is a Sitka Tribe of Alaska cooperative issue at this point. So that's about all we have for renovation. I want to invite you again to give us a call if you have any questions about any of the items that we talk about. 747-5877. 1-800-478-5877, and you can make a comment, ask a question. We'll just ask for your name and where you're from. And we'll go ahead and make a break for music and come back and talk a little bit about some website developments, which is crazy, by the way, so stay tuned for that. And Theo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Ted, Gary, take it away.
Gary Gauker and Ted Howard. Gary, do you guys have a name, a band name?
It's Belly Meat.
Well, the two of you when you just
play together,
as a duet.
Just meat. I don't know.
Well, that's actually perfect because today I embedded a video on our webpage that featured a band called Regal Cheese, and if you guys ever played together, it could be like a platter or something.
That would be wonderful.
It'd be great.
We probably should invite Cracker up for that.
Yeah, there you go. Ted and Gary will be back with us with another musical break.
We have a phone call, and so our rule of the day is that we just will pop them on the air.
All right. Hi. You're on the air with us. Oh, no, you're not.
So if you're going to call in, we're going to put you on the air because that's it's an interactive meeting. And so feel free to give a call. When you do, we'd just ask that you give your name and where you're at. We're hoping that you feel free to call from any of the translator communities here in Southeast Alaska. And actually, you can call from anywhere in the world. And we just want to hear a little bit about where that might be.
All right. So web development. Ken, I did mention that I embedded a video on our webpage today.
And it just rolled off your tongue like it was nobody's business.
A couple of years ago, we wouldn't be saying stuff like that.
Well, let me talk about a couple of years ago real quickly here. Last fall, about a year ago, our website, and I remember we hooted about it a bit during the annual meeting. Last fall, our website saw more than 1,000 unique visitors per week. We were pretty stoked.
Woo-hoo.
It was happening, and we were comparing that to the just over 6,000 listeners to our radio signal each week, between SICK and all the other communities, and that doesn't even include streaming. But we'll get to that in a minute. So last year we were seeing about 1,000 unique visitors per week, unique different people, not like one guy visiting 500 times and another gal 500 more times. Unique people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this week, last week that I just measured, we're regularly having more than 4,000. Regularly. And just a couple of months ago, we had 1 week with more than 7,000 visitors to our site. And we noted that week that that was the first time that our website had more users than our broadcast signal had in a week-long span. So the world is changing, and it's changing dramatically. And I remember back not long ago when radio stations used to guffaw as a group and say, whoa, we're radio, and we're not that silly web thing. And lo and behold, looky here. Oh, we have a phone call. You are on the air.
We keep chasing them away.
Hmm. All right. Well, if you want to be on the air, just give a call and stick with us. We'll double check our technical technique, but I think we'll be able to get you on the air if you just stick with it. In any case, the website is become an indispensable tool for me. When I go online, I go to our website. It's got a few things that I really want to know. A, what's happening right here and now. B, it's got the weather from the NOAA Weather Service. It's also got the community calendar. We'll talk a little bit about that. Hello, you're on the air with us at the annual meeting. Can we get your name and where you're from?
Sean, Port Alexander.
Sean from Port Alexander, welcome. This is a historic moment, and that somebody that's not sitting in a hot, stuffy room in Sitka can participate in an annual meeting. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So, did you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just, you wanted people to call from outlying communities, and here I am. Hi, Ken. You know me, red-haired Sean.
I know you, Sean, and I'm really glad that you called. Do you have anything that you want to relay? Do you listen to Raven Radio frequently down there in PA?
Yep.
All right. I remember the best time I listened in PA was when I came around the corner from kayaking down there. With Steve Will one time, and it was in PA, and I paddled into town, was able to turn on my Walkman, and I heard my wife giving the weather forecast. And because I had to paddle across Chatham the next day, the fact that she was giving a very smooth sailing kind of weather forecast competed equally with how happy I was to hear my wife. Good weather and good woman.
She might have been just leading you on, Ken. Hey, Sean.
No kidding. Well, the weather-wise, weather's... I don't know. It's weather here, you know, a little more extreme than Sitka, as you know.
Yeah, Sean, were you elected to the Port Alexander Council this year by any chance?
No, I wasn't.
One of the few who was not, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm new to the community, new in an old way. Anyway.
All right.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that you called. Do you have any comments, Raven Radio-wise?
No, thanks.
Well, you're welcome.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling, Sean.
Okay. All right. All the best.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Well, great sound. The phone system down to PA is working superbly, and in here as well. So that's an example of how easy it is if you want to participate in the annual meeting. Please do. It's an open invitation. Well, moving on to Facebook.
Right.
Robert, you've put a fair amount of time into making our Facebook operations go pretty well. Do you have any numbers there? Do you want to mention what we're doing?
2,801 fans on Facebook, and I think the connection between our Facebook fans, which is quite an enviable number for just about any, you know, small market media organization, we're way ahead of our peers in Coast Alaska, and we're even ahead of the Alaska Public Radio Network itself. And I think this is where we get a lot of our visits to our webpage, because we post all our news stories to Facebook, and we post a lot of additional content like the Corvidae and this video today that I put up, the Ellen Frankenstein's film called The Trail. And these Facebook users follow these postings back to our page and then share them with their friends, and that's how the sort of snowball grows with our web visits, I believe, anyway.
Like a snowman, which which has symmetry. How many did we have last year, fans on Facebook?
I remember when we first got going, we had 500 Facebook fans before we even knew we had a Facebook page. Raven Radio listeners kind of started it on their own. And then when we discovered it, we polled them on their Facebook page if they would like us to sort of make it official. And there was overwhelming support for kind of making it the official Raven Radio Facebook page, and I remember a big push to get to 1,000 just like a couple of years ago, and now we're pushing 3,000.
Yeah. Last year we had 1,400, yeah, and the year before that, 780. So kind of doubling every year.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of neat. We began streaming our radio signal about a year ago, October of 2011, and it continues to increase in popularity, and we'll be getting more information about it, you know, how that's used. But the statistic I have now is that every day we have about 5 days worth of listening, if that makes any sense. We're still wrapping our head around how all that works.
But right.
About 5 days of listening over, you know, worldwide in every day of reality. And I just want to bring up the community calendar. We put a lot of time and effort into it. We're still working at making it a valuable tool. And I want to say you should check it out daily. I do, and it's amazing how much is going on in the community that I really want to know about. So take an active role in doing that for yourself, and especially check it out before you schedule an event.
Right. We got kind of a wobbly start with the community calendar. And I have to say that our two calendar volunteers, our PSA volunteers, Megan Pasternak and Carol Knuth, have put in the kind of effort that might have chased off lesser people. They have put forth an effort to fine-tune this that's really admirable, and I think the thing is got traction. It's becoming really functional. It's sure enough, just about every day new things are added to it. It's a good tool for on-air programmers. It's a good tool for listeners, and it's a vision that you were pushing couple years ago, Ken. I think you really whipped this one into reality, and it's working. I think we can say it's working.
It sure does take a while to figure out systems, but I'm real happy with this system. And you can see it at kcaw.org is where you'll find that community calendar and everything else we've talked about, as well as podcasts. And so we're going to talk about the new podcast world in a minute, which is what you've been dipping your toe into or envisioning and making happen. And so I'm gonna let you and Ed talk more about podcasting and more about some interesting ideas and changes maybe in store for the news department.
Yeah, it's all about just another way to get radio. We are and will ever be a radio station, but our platform is really diversifying, and that's part of what we'll be talking about later.
Well, let's have a short musical break, and Ed Ronco will join Robert Woolsey to talk about news.
All right, we're back with Meat. Gary Gauker and Ted Howard. Thank you, Ken. Nice guys, Gary Gauker and Ted Howard are belly meat, but there's just two of them here tonight, so we're going as meat, and they're providing the musical interlude here during Raven Radio's first ever live on the air annual meeting, and we've got a call. Hello, you're on the air. Maybe not. If you'd like to participate as a member of the public in tonight's meeting. Our board has made it clear that they'd enjoy hearing from you. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director, and joining me in the studio is our all-star reporter, Ed Ronco. Hi, Ed.
Good evening.
And we are going to be talking about the news, changes in the news department, and one thing that's not particularly new is we won a lot of awards this year, especially you.
That was wild. Well, we should say too that our last summer intern Rachel Waldholtz brought home two Goldies from the Alaska Broadcasters Association, one for a story she did on what was known as the Brewery Bandit, and she wrote a story about how the Baranoff Island Brewing Company was using Facebook to try and track down somebody who broke into their building. Also, she did a great feature on the Tenneke Springs bathhouse, where she went out to Tenneke and actually recorded tape in the bathhouse. Had this wonderful sound of these women singing in this cavernous, kind of echoey room. So it was pretty cool.
A fantastic story. The audio, you know, a treat for the ears, but the content of that story was actually pretty powerful, I remember.
About geothermal renovations.
Geothermal renovations, yeah. And how to get along with your neighbor when you see them naked every day.
That too.
So, yeah. So what else, Ed? You picked up some awards.
I did
as well.
A story on the community-wide airport disaster drill that happened back in April, and that won a Goldie Award, which was very nice. And then the Alaska Press Club honored us with three first-place awards. You and I together, Rob, for our breaking news coverage of the charges that were brought against the survivor of the Coast Guard helicopter crash. That was a story that we ran last October, October of 11, actually. And then we also got awards for business reporting on small timber sales in Tenneke and for a series on the community of Pelican, which we ran in 2011 as well, on the changes in that town since the fishing economy shrank.
Right. And if you didn't hear any of these stories, you can on our website, kcaw.org. And if you hadn't heard Ed's, what was it, a three-part series, extended interview series with Lance Leone, that's also on our website as well. Hi, you're on the air with Raven Radio's annual meeting. Do you have a question or comment?
Comments. One, I wanted to know a little about AWOLs coming up on your news. I know in the Funeral Empire website and the Anchorage Daily News website, they're starting to put paywalls up, and I was just wondering if your news is still going to be free and available or what was going to happen with it.
Could you give us your name and where you're from for the record, please?
Charles.
All right. Thank you, Charles. Go ahead.
Bears. Sometimes at night, especially in winter, it's hard to see where, because they're dark. It's hard to see where the stairs are.
Charles, I'm sorry, we're not getting quite all of that second comment. We'll see if we got the first question down. We'll go ahead and answer that, but I'm sorry we didn't get the second part of that question.
It sounded like your second question, Charles, was about whether the stairs can be better illuminated in our building, and I would imagine that that's the case soon.
Yes. Actually, there's been an electrician working in the building recently trying to sort out the wiring downstairs a little bit. But
your first question was to paywalls?
Paywalls. We have no plans that I know of for a paywall yet. It has been discussed, an idea potentially during fund drives, putting up a pledge opportunity when you access Raven Radio content online, but it wouldn't be a paywall where you have to pay to get through to see it. If you've ever been to npr.org during sort of the pledge season, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's an opportunity and a kind of a reminder that none of what you get, whether over the air or on the web, really truly is free. So
yeah, at the same time, I know of no public media organizations that have those in place right now either. So
right. Yeah. So anyway, if you'd like to get a call in, this is Raven Radio's annual meeting. I'm News Director Robert Woolsey. Ed Ronco is in the station studio with me. We're talking about what's happening in the news department. And coming up after we get done, Coast Alaska Representatives Molly Kabler and
Mandy Evans.
Mandy Evans are going to be in talking about Coast Alaska issues. Anyway, let's move on to our postgraduate fellow. But let's move on to our postgraduate fellow in community journalism. This is probably the largest single change in the news department that I feel.
We have a third person. It's wonderful.
It's a third person, and it is more than just bringing an extra body on board. Ann Bryce is a 2012 graduate of the University of California at Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. She has a master's degree in journalism. She started only on October 8th, and she has put out some incredible stories. Was it just this morning she had her strong woman story on with the interview with the 16-year-old?
An interview, yeah, as part of this domestic violence series. And not just domestic violence, but she started with domestic violence reporting and has gone into all kinds of things about youth and resiliency and community.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that you and I, Ed, in our two-man newsroom environment, probably would have not gotten around to this kind of reporting unless there had been some major issue to trigger it. We're sort of, being in a newsroom is a lot like going to the batting cage, and we swing at every pitch. And when you bring in this postgraduate fellow, Ann Bryce, suddenly, you know, we've got defense too out there. We can really...
It can be really difficult among the daily stories that we cover between all of the meetings that happen with city and school government and all of the things that happen on a daily basis here to do some in-depth reporting. And what I'm excited about with having Ann around is that she's going to get the opportunity to do that, and so are we. And among the three of us, we can cover all of those bases that we need to cover, and at the same time, do more in-depth reporting that asks questions that take a long time to find the answers to.
I have long been a proponent of the notion, and I didn't invent it, that when you add a third person to a two-person newsroom, you get more than 50% more stuff. You get a sort of a multiple of, you know, you get double or triple what you might get. And so we have this increased capacity, more and more diverse reporting, and this increased opportunity for reporting on NPR, which I have long resisted because we just didn't have the time. We have to serve our own audience first, but suddenly having a third person, we have the opportunity to do more bureau work with NPR. And NPR has actually come here in person and invited us to do so.
That's true. Jason DeRose, the Western Bureau Chief, sat in this chair not too long ago and read the Marine Forecast. But he did more than that. He was here looking around, and definitely we had a lot of great conversations about how Sitka's voice can be heard more on a national level.
Right. And you had our first NPR news spot in October. Unfortunate story, but it went national. That was the death of Tomas Puerta, who was apparently killed up in Peril Straits by bears. And we're going to have our first NPR feature story in January, and we'll say no more. You just have to tune in NPR.
Still working on it.
Come January. Yep. So that's kind of exciting. And also in January, Ann Bryce, our news fellow, is going to be sort of entering our news rotation. The last, since October when she'd started, she's been serving sort of an internship, kind of a boot camp in radio. And beginning in January, we're just going to sort of work her into a rotation, and you and Ann and I will sort of be taking turns at the evening news and working our desk and then doing feature stories. And I just wanted to mention, I think Ken and Mandy are going to be talking about this later. The news fellow, our postgraduate fellow in community journalism, is funded through a major giving program, which was developed by Amy Kramer Johnson, who is our development director. This couldn't have happened without Amy Kramer Johnson. She is a full partner in this, and I know that people have given major contributions to make the postgraduate fellowship a reality, and I pass them on the street, and they probably wonder why I don't give them a big hug every day, and the reason is I don't know who they are, and I'm not supposed to know. You and I, Ed, are we live sort of behind a firewall, and we are not supposed to pay attention to who funds news programming services at Raven Radio. So we like to be accountable to listeners, but to our major donors, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We just don't know who you are. Soundcheck.
This is cool. Soundcheck, I'm sorry. Soundcheck is cool. This is something that Rob has been developing, and it's basically a return to public affairs programming. I'll let you explain it, but I just wanted to say that I love it.
Well, thanks. So, yeah. we haven't had local public affairs programming since we lost Steve Will, and with Steve Will went the program that he helped develop called Give and Take. And it really takes three to create the right sort of atmosphere to have a public affairs program, somebody to kind of do the research, somebody to do the production, somebody to just wrangle all the people in. And we decided we would just sort of revisit the model, because when you were doing your candidate forums this fall, Ed, we noticed that we were getting as much participation on Facebook and social media as we were over the phone, maybe even a little more on some of those forums. So I was just kind of thinking about a way to maybe do public affairs and involve social media, and that's where Soundcheck kind of emerged, a way to sort of reinvigorate that model. And we're going to be looking at making some changes to Morning Edition next year, possibly, that may open up opportunities for longer format programs during that 3 hours. And we've done two Soundcheck programs so far, The Life and Times of Basketball Legend Herb Didrikson and An Unbearable Problem about Sitka's Garbage Bears. We've got two shows coming up, Ron Rao's As the Gertie Turns and a program on downtown revitalization. And for the show on downtown revitalization, we're going to let program listeners, it's not going to be a call-in, but you can participate by going to our website and clicking on a SoundCloud widget that will allow you to leave a comment for the show that we can use before we actually tape it. You can tell us what you think about downtown revitalization, what needs to happen, what is the particular formula for making Sitka's downtown work, and I will take your question and play it for our panelists when we tape the show.
So that's an audio question.
Yeah.
People can record themselves asking.
Yes. Yes. And that'll be happening through our website. So that's kind of a new direction for public affairs on Raven Radio. Putting it on in the morning when we have high listenership and involving social media. So we look forward to that. And Soundcheck, as you've heard, we've publicized it. It's available as a podcast, and so is our local news. And people hear the word podcast a lot, and I'm sure a lot of people who enjoy podcasts think it's totally great and think it's totally cool. But, Ed, I know there are a lot of people who are going, what is a podcast? What do people keep talking about podcasts? Is that what whales do or what? What is a podcast?
I hope I do a good job of explaining it, but I've always thought of it as it's a downloadable file that updates automatically on a smart device. Like I have podcasts on my iPhone or my iPod, and they automatically refresh when there's a new episode available. And so I can do that now with our newscast and with Soundcheck, and every day I can hit that button on my phone and hear the latest local newscast that Raven Radio has put out.
Right. So if you didn't hear the morning news on the radio, it can go automatically to your iPad or iPhone. And you can listen to it anytime you like. And I did have the idea to make Soundcheck as available as a podcast, because I just thought it would be great to have a show that wasn't necessarily tethered to a specific time in the schedule. And I was so proud. I was talking about this one morning when Mike Vieira and Andrew Frisky, who they're the high school activities directors for Sitka High and Edgecombe, respectively, they had just finished their morning interview, and I was talking about the Soundcheck podcast and kind of puffing out my chest, and Mike Vieira, who hosts the Sitka Sports Show on Sunday evenings, said, well, I podcast my show, you know, and I have been for a while. And I'm like, yeah, but on iTunes? He goes, yeah, on iTunes and everything. And
but.
So hats off to Mike Vieira. He's already sort of beat us to the punch here. So that's one of the Raven podcasts that's available through iTunes, is Mike Vieira's Sitka Sports Show. And in addition to Soundcheck and KCAW News, which are available as podcasts, we'll probably be podcasting Brian Hansen's High School Sports Show. Beginning in January, our high school sports interview is going to move to Wednesdays, and it's going to be hosted by Brian Hansen, who has a parent in the school system, has had students play sports. He's absolutely hooked on high school sports, and he's going to take over that slot for us. And if it works out, we'll make that available as a podcast so you can tune in each week to hear local students talk about their sports and activities as a podcast.
That's cool.
And that sort of leads us to our last topic in the news department here as part of our annual report, and that's our morning edition remodel. And we mentioned that NPR West Bureau Chief Jason DeRose visited Sitka in April of this year, and he was concerned with sort of three things, that we're running Morning Edition as a three-hour program, and he was, when Morning Edition is a two-hour program, it's produced in Washington, D.C. at NPR's headquarters, and it's distributed as a two-hour program, but we kind of stretch it out into three. He's concerned that we're covering updated news segments at 19 after the hour when we come on with our local weather and school lunches and the marine forecasts and things. That segment is actually updated hard news. And he's concerned that we're leaving the cutaways. These are the parts of Morning Edition where they expect local stations to insert local coverage. He's concerned that we were leaving the cutaways but covering, you know, the hard stuff. So based on Jason's recommendations, we've sort of been looking at how we do Morning Edition and thinking about ways we might redesign it. None of it is really set in stone, but I feel like we should mention that just because NPR thinks we ought to be doing something doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be doing that. 30 years ago, we deliberately redesigned Morning Edition as a three-hour show. We thought that there were different audiences throughout the morning and no major drive time audience, and we plan to sort of survey members over the winter to find out if listener patterns have changed. But we know that people are listening to Raven Radio in a much sort of more mobile fashion. That we know for sure. So anyway, that is something to look forward to. If you're a Raven Radio member, over the course of the winter, you might be getting a call regarding a survey about how to improve Morning Edition, you know, to serve your interests ultimately. And finally, before we go to meet here for a musical interlude, we have a lot more people in the news department.
Yeah, beyond our winter fellow, we have a morning host rotation developing.
Yes, Holly Keen, Chris Todd, and Jeff Seifert are starting rotation as morning hosts now. Because these folks are willing to work, I'm able to get out of the morning host chair and work on some of this other stuff, which is probably overdue. And we'll build up our bench to sort of keep a baseball analogy going. Depending on the Morning Edition remodel, we'll have more people in the Morning Edition chair next year as well, we hope. So thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Rob.
We did it. That's the annual report from the KCAW News Department. We're going to be going to a musical break, and then Molly and Mandy will be in with a Coast Alaska report.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Beautiful sounds.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have Molly Kabler and Mandy Evans to talk about Coast Alaska. Before they get into their seats, though, I did want to mention that if you have heard some of Ann Bryce's reports, or even if you haven't, but you really like the idea of expanded local news coverage capacity, and you would like to help fund that, you can get a hold of Amy Kramer Johnson, our development director, or me, Ken Fate, or any board member, actually, and we'll be able to help you out, to help improve the local news situation here in Sitka, which is great but can always be better. And the number to call, if you want to do that, is 747-5877. Molly Kabler is the executive director of Coast Alaska, and Mandy Evans is on the board of Raven Radio, the treasurer, and she is one of the appointed Coast Alaska representatives from the town of Sitka, I guess, or the board of Raven Radio. So welcome both of you for a little bit of an update on what Coast Alaska has been doing this year.
Thanks, Ken. I think you've done a great job this evening presenting a lot of great information. If you tuned in earlier and heard the introductory comments, you heard a lot about Coast Alaska. I think Ken did a great job of introducing it. We'll do just a little bit of review in case you missed that segment. But I'm in here with Mandy Evans. I'm delighted to have her on the Coast Board as a Raven Radio representative. Our other Raven Radio representative on the Coast Board is former Raven Board member Susie Albee. And Susie is the chair of the Coast Alaska Board, and Mandy is on the Finance Committee of the Coast Alaska Board. It's a 10-member board with two members from each of the five communities. So thanks for being in with me this evening, Mandy.
Thanks for having me.
So what is Coast Alaska? Why do we keep talking about it? Well, it's the regional services organization that unites five communities' radio stations, including Raven Radio, and we work together to share the costs to make things effective and efficient, deliver a set of services for public radio that don't need to be local, and leave the very local and important local aspects of community radio to the folks that work in each community. It's been a model that's worked nicely, and we don't have any plans to change it.
The five communities are?
Sitka, of course, Juneau, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. I would say the person that works for Coast Alaska, of course, that most people know from his voice is Coast Alaska News Director Ed Schoenfeld, and he certainly comes to Sitka and the other coast stations, fills in, and then on an almost daily basis does a news reporting, and you'll hear it in local news, focused on covering issues that are important not only locally but regionally, and would serve all the Coast Alaska stations.
We have our staff goes on vacation. He's able to come in, and we have consistent and good news coverage locally, as well as when he's here doing that, he's still posting and doing the regional stories at the same time.
Yeah, it's been a service that's gone on since the inception of Coast Alaska, and really one of the great parts of our collaborative work together. Well, Ken mentioned this earlier, but we'll just touch on it again. Recently, we reviewed our last year's collective financial results for Coast Alaska, and that includes Raven Radio. And our auditor, Barry Complimentary, says we're very well managed and we're sound financially. So that's great news that we want to move forward on as we continue to bring great service and public radio collaboratively at Coast and right here in Sitka. There are threats to federal funding in public broadcasting, and that is concerning. But in a recent statewide public broadcasting conference, both the conference trainer and the vice president for radio from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting highlighted that the Coast Alaska collaborative approach is ideal, and they're encouraging others around the nation to adopt this model, and almost admonished some of the other Alaskan stations for not considering something like Coast Alaska. So we're well known, even though on a national level we're a very small organization, our model is respected and appreciated. So we're delighted that Raven Radio is a strong and innovative member of the Coast Alaska stations. And
Good.
And Mandy, thanks so much. Mandy is the Raven Radio treasurer, but also on the Finance Committee, and thanks also to Susie Albee, who serves ably as the chair of the Coast Alaska Board. My office is here in the cable house. I'm delighted. It's on the downstairs level in this building. And if you had any questions for me about Coast Alaska, you're certainly welcome to come to the station or call the station. I share the phone number. If you wanted to call this evening, you could. 747-5877, 1-800-478-5877. Mandy, did you want to say anything else about Coast Alaska?
Well, I think you covered it. I've been on the Raven board for a while before I joined the Coast Alaska board and became one of the representatives from the local organization. And it's been a really nice thing to see that how sound our practices are and how healthy we are financially as a nonprofit in this funding times. These funding times. Sorry.
Thank you both for the report and for your great work.
Thanks.
And we'll have another brief musical interlude before we have a programming discussion. Anything else, Molly?
Didn't have anything else. Thanks so much.
All right. Good night. So the guys are going to come in here for another musical interlude, and then I'll be joined by program coordinator Rebecca LeGuire, and we will take your questions and your comments about programming as we wrap up the annual meeting and move on into this great coming year. So, gentlemen, I'll let you take it away. Sound and meat. Time is just about a quarter before 8 o'clock, actually, about maybe 17 minutes before 8 o'clock. And I'm Ken Fate, the general manager here at Raven Radio, and Rebecca LeGuire, the program coordinator, has joined me. You can go ahead and get your microphone all situated how you like it. And we're going to invite you to call in with questions and comments or whatever you like, concerns about Raven Radio programming. And the number to call is 747-5877, 1-800-478-5877 is the number to call outside of Sitka. It's a toll-free number. And we just have one phone line up and running, so if I have somebody on the line, then please wait until they're done with their question and off of the air, and then you can make your call. And when you do call, we would like to know your name and where you're calling from. And when you do call in, you're going to hear a noise that is the phone needs to be connected to the radio system here. And that sounds kind of like this. It's a little static burst. And it's a bit loud. And then after the static burst, then you'll hear us talking. And that's when you know that you've made the connection successfully. So, again, the number is 747-5877. Or 1-800-478-5877. And while we wait for the first call to come in, I want to mention that we have a couple of projects in the programming department, the first of which is to welcome Rebecca LeGuire into the Raven Radio family. You've been working here for just a couple of months, right?
Yeah, I officially started, I guess, the 1st of October. I did have a couple of weeks of training in a transitional period with Amy Gorn, who was filling in over this summer, and she was excellent. So, and let me just say, Ken, I always love your technical sound effects. nobody can reproduce weird technical sounds like
my static burst.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
well, everybody's got to be good at something.
That's right. And
that's my one thing. The tone I do is really pretty
Ooh.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
wow. I think people just adjusted their dials quickly going, what's going on?
So the at the beginning of October is when you started in here. And the Kayla Betcher was in working at Raven Radio before, and she was hired by the Sitka Summer Music Festival, and she's their executive director. So we did we had Amy Gorin filling in through the summer so that we could take our time. We had the 30th anniversary adventures going on, which were great, and so we took our time, and then had the process in kind of the late summer, mm-hmm. and it was just great that you had come back to town. You've done Raven Radio programming before. It was quite some time ago. Remind me of the details.
Yes. Well, back in the mid-90s, to date myself perfectly, I was involved with a program through the Sitka Teen Center that was called the Gender Equity Program. And it was a program set up to encourage kids to get involved in different careers that were not necessarily traditional for their gender. And so I had taken the opportunity to pounce all over Raven Radio at the time. I was like, that's exactly where I want to go. In fact, I think I kind of used it to get into here as a way to find my footing in to get on the air here. So I was able to come in and do the first flight and had a regular show every week and for a while and volunteered here for several years before I moved away.
I was the program director when you came in.
You were.
And I knew you, recognized your name, and was
yep.
actually you had come back to Sitka and were doing volunteering again to do radio shows.
I was.
It was great to have you back on the air, and that always makes me feel good when I see young people come in and learn some not only radio skills, but I think ultimately fundamental skills about responsibility, also about technical elements, not just related to radio, but you know how to do multitasking.
Absolutely.
How to be confident and comfortable in public speaking. There are some fundamental things that when young people come in and do programs, I'm really impressed by that. And then you went away and you spent time in Seattle and in South America?
Yes, some time in both places. The majority in Seattle. And there I kind of went a whole other medium with photography and worked with stock photography. And it kind of worked out good because the role that I had there doing the stock photography was, I was the operations and workflow manager, I guess was my official title. But what I generally did was worked with about 150 photographers who were spread out all over the world and coordinated them. So, you know, kind of prepared me for coming in here and working with all of these awesome volunteers.
Sure. We have over 100 volunteers.
We do.
55 on the air regularly and then another 55 that are substitutions. And so you've really been only at it for a matter of weeks. We're mm-hmm. working on communication tools and just kind of getting used to our procedures. So that's really job one
yeah.
for the programming department, and you're doing a great job. It's a pleasure to work with you.
Thanks. It's awesome to be here. And I'm continually impressed and almost overwhelmed by how wonderful the volunteer program is here. Everybody really steps up and does an amazing job. So
couldn't agree more.
Good job, volunteers.
Yes, kudos and wonderful thank yous to volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
The phone number, if you'd like to ask a question about programming, 747-5877, or make a comment about programming. Out of town, 1-800-478-5877. And when you're on the air, we just ask for your name and where you're from, and we'll put you on the air and we'll talk about it. Just like standing up and raising your hand at an annual meeting. So if you have anything like that, please do give us a call. The another thing I wanted to mention, we're going to be finishing up our renovations, part of which includes equipping Studio Zeno, which is our ADA accessible studio downstairs, which we use as a production room, equipping that for more live radio. And we'll be starting here this coming year with experiments in radio theater, game shows,
oh man,
live music performances, and all kinds of different live radio applications, variety shows, And I imagine that at some point you'll hear Meat play live, as well as Belly Meat. And so we're looking forward to trying a lot of different things with a lot of different people, the goal being more voices,
yep,
sharing more stories and more talents on the air. And so we're going to try to make that real good. Other live radio opportunities that we're going to be focusing on in the coming year, we have successfully broadcast live from the Performing Arts Center. We've got the systems down. The teams have met and worked out the best systems. And so we're going to try to do that more and more, as well as broadcast from other venues around town and try to have more live programming, again, to showcase more local voices and talents. That's coming up in the future. In the past, we have 30 years of archived radio, reel-to-reel. A lot of it is on reel-to-reel tape machines, or tapes, digital audio tapes, cassette tapes. Some of these things we don't even have working machines for anymore. The American Archive Project offered to catalog all of our archives. Well, we had to apply for a grant. And so like the building grants, we applied and we were accepted into this program. And they sent two people to catalog our like 1,500 tapes. And it took them 2 weeks. And they made a big old catalog of everything that we have in our archives. And the next step we're doing now is that we'll send in 60 hours of tape, and they are going to digitize it. And this stuff has to be handled very carefully in laboratories, because it's so old that the tape just disintegrates when it's played. So they have to bake it in a special little oven for a particular time at a particular temperature. So they're going to treat it like gold.
Wow.
And it's going to be as kind of expensive like gold. But it's all being done for free, including the shipping. So we're about to have 60 hours of archived Raven Radio programming available for the air, and we'll also put it online, podcast and stuff. And that's going to include things like an A and B salute series that's like 5 or 6 hours of historical A and B program reporting on the A and B and the origins of the Alaska Native Brotherhood. Haven Bay, which is a radio theater, several series, seasons of a radio series here in Haven Bay, here produced here at Raven Radio called Haven Bay. Things like Dr. Whitey, if you've never heard Dr. Whitey, that's local production. It's a real treat. Just all kinds of things that are going to be coming out of the archives. And we'll have those on the air next spring. Very excited about that. So live, and some archive is what's in the future for us. Haven't had a call, and so we're going to end up, we're going to wrap up the meeting, but I do want to give you one more shot, 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877. If you have any comments about the Raven Radio program schedule, we'd love to hear them. And I also will mention, we're always open to hear those messages. Every comment that you leave when you make a pledge is written down. The Community Advisory Board, which meets several times per year, reviews those comments, and they also review program changes. And every day is a day that we're interested in knowing what you think about the programming here on Raven Radio. So this is not your only opportunity. And Rebecca, thanks so much for coming in here with me.
Thank you, Ken.
Have a great night, and we'll wrap up the meeting. Actually, can I get... what we'll do is we'll close the meeting out officially, because I think it takes a motion, and then we'll just have some music to take us out. So I'll leave that to, now that Ted Loffenberg is no longer on the board, it falls to our vice chair, Ted Howard. I'll
Hello.
Let you lead the outro.
Well, thanks a lot, folks, for joining us with a discussion of your radio station. Don't we have a bunch of great folks to work with here? These are dedicated folks, both the staff and the board, and we'd like to thank them all very, very much for their efforts. And let's call for a motion to adjourn this annual meeting.
So moved.
I hear the motion. Is there a second?
A second.
And hearing no objection, the meeting is closed.
Thank you very much, Ted Howard. And thanks to everybody for listening. And if you have any comments about the meeting, by all means, let us know, 747-5877. Gary Gawker, Ted Howard, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.